Okay, it means it's time to go over to Peter the Gabby Cabby. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good morning. Good morning on a rainy day in New York City, which is very good for cab drivers, because then everybody needs a cab, so we make lots and lots of money.
It's the last bit I don't know about, but is it really that closely connected?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
As simple as that. The big news over here, and I'm not sure how aware you are, Peter, of how big a deal this US presidential race is. Loads of people staying up in the early hours, middle of the night, to watch Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton go head-to-head. Did you watch it?
Well, everybody does. I mean, it's like the ultimate sitcom, okay? And on behalf of the United States, I'd like to apologize to everybody for presenting it to you, because it never ends. It never ends. They hate each other. The venom is unbelievable. You don't discuss politics in the United States now, because that means you and your uncle will never talk to each other again. I mean, it's really a terrible, terrible situation. Personally, I don't like either one of them. I don't think either one of them are good or qualified to be president of the United States, so that kind of complicates it. But it's a big thing, and it's actually a big moneymaker, because the radio stations make a fortune, the television stations make a fortune, the newspapers. We're talking about, you know, the advertisements and the promotions and everything, and it goes on and on. For instance, the New York Times, which is the leading newspaper, it constantly bashes Trump. Trump, 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 constantly. And I was curious as to why they had such venom for Trump, because he's really not that bad. Well, I discovered that the New York Times is actually owned now by a Mexican. And you know Trump has made remarks about Mexicans.
Right, this wall that the Mexicans are going to pay for.
Exactly. So, and the guy who owns it is the richest man in Mexico. And so I suspect that some of his motivation in bashing Trump is not so much politics, but, you know, he's a Mexican and he feels offended. So that's the type of stuff that's going on.
It's a funny scenario.
It will affect you people.
Yeah, Peter, sorry about that. It's a funny scenario in that, you know, mainstream media, the New York Post, other networks and what have you, Donald Trump has very successfully taken them on, and it's resonating with the people. Things are different now.
Yeah, well, that, you see, that's the advantage he has. Now, I mean, up until the time he ran for office, he was a highly regarded New Yorker businessman. Nobody found fault with him. He did all kinds of wonderful projects. He employs thousands of people. All of a sudden, when he starts running for office, and that's what happens in politics, we're being told he's the worst possible person on the face of the earth. Well, he has a lot of faults, and as I say, Mrs. Clinton has a lot of faults. She's about 2 inches away from going to jail, as a matter of fact, because she's violated some very serious laws in the United States. So, as I say, it's the ultimate sitcom, and I, for one, am embarrassed that we're making you people suffer through it, but it's important to you because it's going to make a difference to you, meaning the people of Ireland, who's president of the United States.
Yeah, indeed. And we have this awkward situation that if it is Mr. Trump, you know, there was a great deal of opposition here. And indeed, you know, the likes of the Taoiseach, the Premier here, Enda Kenny, has been critical of Mr. Trump. But, you know, if he were to come here on a formal visit, it could be quite awkward. A lot of people would have their tails between their legs or have to eat humble pie or indeed have to debate in the House, in the Dáil, whether or not he'd be welcome. Which is bizarre.
Yeah, but it's all your fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're... No, the reason it's the Irish fault, I don't know. I mean, I imagine you're aware of it. In the United States, there's 40 million people of Irish descent. So whoever's going to get to be elected president...
We take blame for that one.
That's right. It's your fault. I mean, I say to my Irish friends and you, don't complain to me about anything in the United States. It's your fault.
You've been talking about moving away from politics, Peter. You've been talking about the big money there is being paid out in claims against the transport network in New York. Is this driven by ambulance chasing lawyers? Does such a thing exist in New York?
Yeah, well, you said it, I didn't, but that's about right. What happens is that New York City is such an operation. I mean, think of this. 10 million people live here. We have 1 million kids in the school. Millions go on the subways. And obviously, accidents happen. And, of course, you run to the lawyer, and it's a very litigious society, and you sue the city. And the city has so many claims against it that it has a full-time department that's just paying out claims. You know, you say you tripped on the stairs and this, that, and the other thing. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that anybody do it, but it's become a moneymaker. I mean, you know, I think they call it slip and fall. And I imagine that as time goes on, it'll become more of your culture also. There are nefarious people who do it.
Look, it happens millions. Everywhere, Peter. And, you know, we've introduced measures to try and curb it, and it hasn't been successful. But it's $500 million industry almost in New York alone.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it really is. And I try to fall down once a day. No, I'm only kidding. Of course, I wouldn't do it. But, you know, that we actually, in driving a taxi, I must tell you, I see many instances where people step in front of the cab. And I don't think it's an accident that they're stepping in front of the cab. They're figuring, oh, what the heck, they'll break a leg or two. I mean, and then they'll collect money. So it's outrageous.
There is a video on the internet of someone stepping out in front of a taxi. I'm not sure if it's in a York yellow cab, but the taxi driver, obviously acutely aware, slams the brakes on about 6 inches short of the person in question, who then proceeds to tumble onto the bonnet in any case. I mean, that's an extreme, but as you say, probably does happen. Two very contrasting sort of nature stories, I suppose. On the positive, two new baby tigers in the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah, well, the Bronx Zoo, let me be a representative of the tourist board, because let me tell you something, if any of you nice listeners are coming to New York City, one of the places you just have to go to is the zoo, because since everything in New York is the biggest, the largest, the best, you know, and all of that kind of thing, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, we really have the most spectacular zoo on the face of the earth. We love going there. But in any event, they now have two baby tigers. And so here you have the sophisticated, blasé, urban New Yorkers who you think nothing would faze us. We have the celebrities, the money, the power. Ah, everybody's going crazy over the tigers. As a matter of fact, on my website, gabby.com, I'm not selling anything, you can see a picture of the tigers, and they're really adorable.
You're so a softie, aren't you? You're a big softie, really, Peter.
Well, of course I am. I love it. Listen, if I'd love to buy a tiger, the problem is when they grow up, they eat you.
Let's get back. It reminds me of the story you told us. Have you seen Mike Tyson? I think he had a pet tiger at one point.
Yeah, well, he has the money for that.
Yeah, indeed. On the flip side of it, the awful aspect of the humanity, ivory tusks, you can't really deal in them now, but they're out there. I'm not sure. I think they can exchange hands, but not new ones. But someone was arrested for stealing ivory tusks.
Yeah, well, what they were doing is they were selling them. And this, I just wanted to point out that it's a very serious offense in New York. You will see ladies now, as the wintertime is approaching, wearing fur coats. There's nothing wrong with wearing a fur coat. But boy, it better not be an endangered species, because if it is an endangered species, you're going to the slammer. I mean, they really put you in jail here. Yeah. And this is a case of three guys that were selling ivory tusks. And that's a big, big no-no. And, of course, they're making a lot of publicity about it, warning people, again, we don't fool around when that law is around. You got to be very careful to watch what you're selling. They'll go to jail as if they had robbed a bank.
Proper order, too. It's an awful trade altogether. Now, the last time you were on, or the time before, I introduced you, and I did say forget about it. Perhaps in a not a very nice New York accent. And I think you took umbrage from it, Peter, as nice a gentleman as you are. But I've been vindicated now, because that exact turn of phrase has popped up in the Oxford Dictionary.
That's right. I mean, I'm sorry to point out an English dictionary to you folks. I know there's been some tension through the years, so I'm talking about the English dictionary on your radio show. But the fact of the matter is, it's first of all, you got to wave your hand. I mean, if we were on the telly now, you'd see me going, forget about it. And, of course, I'm throwing my hand up. The important thing about using forget about it is it's always interrupt. If you start to say something, I don't even wait for you to finish the sentence. I just say, forget about it.
And now, let me ask another question, though, on a more serious note, because it is a stereotype, you know, and I'm sure it could get tiresome with people landing at the local airport and, you know, does it get tiring? Is it a little bit sort of, you know, there's more to us than that?
No, not okay. really. No. I mean, first of all, we have 176 languages being spoken in New York City, including people here speak Gaelic. So if you come over here, I mean, how can I call you a foreigner? Because there's so many of you here already. I'm talking about, you know, like Irish tourists.
Yeah, it's a melting pot,
you know,
isn't
I mean,
it?
Qantas and Virgin and the other airlines that are coming over from Ireland, they're running them like buses. You know, I mean, the way they're going back and forth. So if you get off and you go into a diner or a luncheonette to have something to eat, the waitress is not going to say, oh, what an interesting accent. Where do you come from? She wouldn't raise that question because she figured you're there having something to eat, even though you're talking with a heavy accent from Ireland and she can't understand a word you're saying. She's not going to ask you, where are you from? She figures you come from down the block. That's where you come from.
Okay. Listen, always a pleasure, Peter. Gabby.com is the URL, isn't it?
Yes, that it is.
And people can check it out. It's a lot of fun, it is, and people really should check it out. And you do great work, actually, on a serious note, in promoting the city. I'm sure you love and are very proud of. And we always enjoy chatting to you. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thank you. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Peter the Gabby Cabby up early taking our call, giving us his unique insight into American life.